Oh, wait, I do have the email that says everything that you guys do, so I'll be able to, like, a script.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 183 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com, because there are, and I am here with Tanya Higgins is with me, and she's of Don't Bother, It's Broken, and yeah. Welcome to the show, Tanya.
Howdy.
Mark Savory is, of course, still out because he's moving from an undisclosed location to an undisclosed location. And he's normally at autumnlake.com, which is obviously not updating right now. But anyway, it is Sunday, April 24th, 2011. Just recorded a newscast earlier today, so if you're not listening to the newscast, they're pretty fun. So check those out. And, of course, to see here this week. This week, the topic is not really a topic, but a community showcase. We do those every once in a while. Of the community called Activate, which is at act-i-vate.com. And, of course, with that includes people from that community, including Troy Wilson from Panels for Primates.
Hello.
Chris, darn it, Miskiewicz?
That is perfect.
All right, from everywhere.
That's incorrect.
Well, that's not the webcomic? What's the comic?
That is, yes.
Okay. All right. And Seth Kushner from Culture Pop.
Hi there.
Dov Torben from The Revolution Will Be Televised.
Hello.
And James Smith from Gang of Fools.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Not on, bro.
Yeah, right. And all right. So I think everyone says that Seth is going to take this part where I'm going to ask, what the heck is Activate?
That's a good question. So Activate was started by Dean Haspiel 5-6 years ago, something like that. He, again, this is something that I've heard him spew at various cons and that kind of thing. So I'm just going to sort of try to remember how he tells it. But basically, he... He used to post webcomics on LiveJournal years ago, and he felt that there's a lot of people doing that. People like Josh Neufeld and Nick Bertozzi, other friends of his that were doing the same thing, and he had this idea to create this collective. So there, you have this one spot where people can go and say they're there for Dean, but they also, while they're there, can check out some other people they haven't seen before. So it becomes a supportive type system. And it's kind of grown, and there's, I don't know, probably thousands of pages of free comics up there right now by lots of great creators. There's something for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's like I said, it's all free, and it's available anytime. And there's been various waves. I mean, I think we're probably, those of us on the line right now, are probably wave 3 or 4, I guess, at this point.
Okay.
Guys, yeah, something like that, right?
Something like that.
And it gets to the point where the original guys, like Dean and Simon Fraser and Tim Hamilton and Mike Cavallaro, and they don't post as often anymore, because what happens is Activate really did its job and that it promoted their careers, and they're all busy doing books right now, and so others come in to kind of fill the spaces, and hopefully it happens for the next generations as well. So it's been this kind of promotional type thing as well.
Okay, so is it like the other creators that were there, are they like, have they left the community, or they just
leave their stuff still up?
Or
they're still very much a part of it. I mean, the majority of them sit next to each other at the Deep Six Studios. Except Joan Riley's not there anymore. Well, no, they are still present. Simon Fraser's still posting, Lily McKenzie, I guess. So you could say one of the founders is still part of it in a sense.
They're the brain trust in a way, because they still have to approve what goes on, and they're still like the inner sanctum of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it is curated. The whole thing is curated. People can't just say, I'm going to be on here and that's it. It has to go through this sort of voting process to really decide whether you're right for the site, for the collective. So I mean, I think Dove is the most recent acquisition, I guess. Right, right, Dove? I mean, you wanna...
Yeah, I've been on for like 2 weeks now, 2-3 weeks.
Right.
looking at the creators page, yeah, wow, there's like tons of people here.
It's kind of fantastic when you look at that page, or when you look at just the comics page, the fact that you could just completely screw off on time and just go into any of those icons for pages and pages and pages. I mean, James, how long is yours right now? What are you up to? Page.
How long is mine?
I don't mean that in a dirty way. I meant, what's your page count right now?
Yeah, what's your page count?
Everything that comes out of your mouth just gets me turned on. It's somewhere up in page 80 in that region.
I mean, and that's kind of amazing. You just can click on forever and just see this, you know, his entire thing. Mm-hmm. Seth, you have a, give a couple hundred pages as well at this point.
I think
right?
like 260 or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's a lot. I only have I have 3 episodes of my anthology go up at this point. The fourth one, you know, will be up. It comes the first of every month, but. It's kind of mad, you know. People just keep clicking through, or people who aren't comics fans get in touch with me and are just sort of impressed by the what. I guess it's just a great destination if you, I keep saying, want to waste a few minutes of time on the internet.
A few minutes.
Well, or more
hours.
Yeah.
I do read very slow. Yeah.
But you know, with that also comes controversy as well. So tell us about some of the controversial things that have come to Activate.
Huh.
Wow. I don't.
I'm just pulling that out of my ass. I have no idea if there's controversy or not.
Oh, is there something to base that on?
Yeah, I'm just
hoping.
I was just seeing if I could, like, get anybody just to, you know, reveal something.
Well, not too many people know this, but the pictures don't even show it on the creators page, but we're all very good looking people. So there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of, like, you know, prissy bitch when we're walking around at the Secret Activate headquarters. And I'm not really allowed to talk about that, and Dean's going to yell at me. So
yeah. I had asked, see, because I think Dean had posted something on his live journal that we covered in one of the early newscasts. Mm-hmm. And it's like something that webcomicers in general have known for a long time. I guess he was addressing it more so to the...
Was that the thing with the fist image?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was great, his little screw you manifesto, but it really wasn't, it didn't even come from that point. But go on, I just interrupted. Continue.
No, that's fine. And that's, and though we talked about it in the newscast, and I hadn't even paid attention that, you know, he was a part of Activate, because I had known about Activate for a couple of years. And then I started talking with him on LiveJournal, then it came up as like, hey, I've been actually planning to get Activate on as a showcase, and he's like, all right, let's do it. It's like, all right, April, okay. And then he's unavailable in April, but he says, then he gave a list of basically all of you guys to instead be on, and so here you are, and and this is how the show goes.
One of the great things about Dean is that he's always, I mean, it's pretty common in the comics industry, I guess, but Dean's always really good at promoting other people, and he's always really, that's one of the benefits of actually...
Dean is fantastic at promoting
people. That I've gotten after joining Activate, you know, is that Dean is always willing to put someone else out, and he's not just looking for promotion for himself.
It sounds like he's a pimp, you know, he's put somebody else out.
He uses the term time.
Yeah, but he doesn't hit me that much though, so it's okay.
He doesn't love you enough.
So how long?
Haspiel has been one of the he rocks the internet, not Twitter, but Facebook and other means to push not just him, all of us, anybody that he kind of knows, a satellite of the site. In such a manner, he's just really cool and free and giving with that. It's a nice thing to have in your pocket. You know, he really does push almost everybody's piece that's on there.
He's like our agents, but he doesn't take a cut of anything, which is pretty great.
Wow, so he's a masochist. Yeah.
Sounds like a man after my own heart. Actually,
well, he does work in comics. So I guess he would be a masochist. Yeah,
yeah, I think that's kind of self-defined. Yeah, but I mean that's a good benefit to have, though. I mean, I know that that's one of the biggest problems the webcomers I know run into is that they don't really know how to promote themselves, or maybe they do, but they don't do it enough.
That's
so it's nice to have somebody in your corner like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
I wanted to ask, how old is Activate, if anybody knows about?
5 years old.
The fifth anniversary just passed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome.
We launched Everywhere in conjunction with that, which was, again, unexpected from my point of view, and then fantastic because it was, you know, the property went out with every press release that they were sending about the five-year anniversary anyway, so that generated a lot of hits that I didn't expect to get, and a couple of, like, MTV geek blips and things like that.
Oh, really?
And I also think that kind of helped generate a little bit, you know, oh, wow, yeah, Activate, 5 years, and that became a little bit of a conversation piece again. Hmm. Maybe I'm just being an egomaniac.
I'm hoping for my day.
It's all about me, isn't it? We're changing the name from Activate to my unpronounceable last name, and we're gonna put in a few more W's and Z's.
So I think that's an important choice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
More consonants in the last name.
More consonants.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how I could get an MTV geek to look at me. So
to look at you.
Yeah. To mention me. Yeah. Because I've noticed, to go off topic slightly, that I was skeptical of them. It's like they're starting to talk about people, and it's like, hey, they're actually doing a decent job over there at something with MTV on its name and mentioning not just the absolute high tier people sort of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sure.
So. Yeah. I think they have a nice, let's see how that develops, but so far they've been a pretty interesting company. That's,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, starting as well. They're not that old.
Right.
How old are they?
MTV Geeks started with Comic-Con last year. That was launch, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Maybe if I can get their email and be like, hey, I want to have you guys on the show. No, I'm just a whore. Anyway, so we have Activate and several of the creators, well, a fraction, I guess, of the creators from the Activate community. Let's see here. I'm trying to figure out who I should start with. And I think I'll just go in the order of the list that I got, which I'm sure is in no particular order. But we did mention Troy Wilson from Panels for Primates. So, Troy, if you could tell us about Panels for Primates.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm the editor of Panels for Primates. It's a basically it's an anthology of primate comics that's been updating every Wednesday since early October. It'll be winding up on June 1st. So far, there have been 29 stories, 46 creators, 91 pages. And it's a little different than, well, I guess everything else on the site in that. I mean, like everything else, you can view it for free, absolutely. But it is actually a charity anthology in the sense that if people dig what they see, they're more than welcome, I'll even say encouraged, to head on over to primaterescue.org and make a little donation to the Primate Rescue Center there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's the basic gist of it. I mean, there have been some phenomenal people, everybody, actually, phenomenal people, who've contributed some bigger names that people might have heard of, Fred Van Lente, Colleen Coover, Rick Geary, Stuart Moore, David Mosgaard Peterson, Rasan Ekadal, people coming up, Roger Stern, Mike Carey, Carlos Speed McNeil, but I mean all kinds of people who are just amazing that people have never heard of either, which is also really exciting.
So a little, I guess I'm like on the, I don't want to say activist.
Nicely done.
I said I don't want to say activist, but certainly human rights in general, fighting for, well, activists, I suppose, but you know what I'm trying to say, you know, for the greater cause. There we go. Yeah. I'm trying not to be an asshole. I really am not.
I don't know how.
You're doing an awesome job.
Hang on, I got my foot in my mouth. Hang on. Oh, wait. Anyway, so, yeah, I forgot. We had mentioned Panels for Primates on the show before, and I forget what it was, but I think it was, it might have been the newscast specifically for, because you're talking about for, you know, primate rescue organizations, etc., which is, you know, the main point of your comic. Have you done other projects before this, and do you have plans for comics after this?
Yes. Nothing on this scale before, and maybe not even after. Actually, there's a lot of moving parts on this, so I might scale it back and actually after this just focus on my own stuff, because coordinating something like this, there's a lot less time to create your own work, so right. I'll probably focus a bit more on my own stuff afterwards. Prior to it, a little bit. I mean, there's a little wrestling comic anthology that somebody put out at Mocha that I wrote a story for, that the great Mario Gonzalez of Wily Man fame did the art for. And also, I guess this actually came out sort of during the run of Panels for Primates. There was a Hope Hero Initiative deal put out by Ronin Studios that me and Mario did a story for as well. But my bigger claim to fame is actually I've done a few picture books for kids and whatever.
Okay.
That's more what I'm known for, if I'm known for anything, as opposed to comics. But
right.
I want to be doing more comics as well.
Well, already. is this I guess this is a next general question, like things that you would do after this, would you likely then just go on your own site, or I mean, I don't know how the collective sort of works, or that you continue to post on Activate, I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know specifically what's coming next, because to be honest with you, I mean, I may be I've just finished off a BA, and I might actually be teaching English in South Korea and trying to fit in comics work of some sort. So there's a lot of things that are up in the air right now, and there are projects that I there's a project, a kids project that me and Mario have in mind that we're probably going to pitch for print prior to going to any kind of online option, and if print goes nowhere, then onto his site it goes, basically.
Okay.
What'll happen there, I think.
Well, already. Once again, all the comics that we're talking about can be found at activate.com. That's act-i-vate.com. And Panels for Primates... What?
You can also say just activate comics with an x.com, which is almost easier.
Okay.
Easily explainable.
And Panels for Primates is /11.comic.
Oh, and actually, before I forget, I should thank the Primate Rescue Center for giving us basically free rein to editorially to do pretty much whatever crazy stuff we want to do. They're trusting us not to be terribly, terribly offensive. So it's not your typical, you know, sort of namby-pamby, boring, I guess, maybe. Some charity comics are kind of boring or whatever. I mean, this is just basically, it's primates, it's not super offensive, go nuts. So I just want to give a shout-out to the Primate Rescue Center, and obviously Activate as well, for the editorial freedom that we do have.
And that is a big deal. You know, that is unusual when you're doing things for charities. A lot of times they will ask you, give you, you know, very specific guidelines over what you can and can't do. So that is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good job, Primate Rescue.
All right. And we'll get those links in. We'll get all these links in the show notes, so nobody has to, you know, fret about the how to find the URL for Activate and all these comics that we're going to mention. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll approach all the rest of the people that we have on the show and their works and what they have plans for in the future. We'll be right back.
In the vast and frozen country of the free and the brave, where the women smell of moose fat and the men never shave, where swinging battle axes are what cause the winds to blow, and the swift
And I mean terrible as in huge and frightening, not terrible as in he's not good at anything. I mean, he's good at being huge and frightening.
Get on with it!
Okay, well, he drank from a boiling hot spring above the fjord, and then proceeded to urinate in the sacred white snows of Svalbard. From those golden snow crystals emerged the warriors we know today as the...
Hey, what's going on here? Dear sir, quit screwing around with our legends or else face repercussions. Repercussions? What do they mean by repercussions? Oh. Okay, let's just skip to the third verse then.
One, two, three!
On a standard Friday evening when there isn't much to do, we put on some Marvin Gaye and do it dressed as caribou. Then we all have apple teenies and we braid each other's hair. It's an ancient proud tradition like our sexy underwear.
That was We Are the Vikings by Kobe LaCroix. Found at The Funny Music Project at thefump.com.
I've never done radio. I've always wondered about that break. What do you do during the break?
Nothing. It's a complete and utter lie. Well, he basically hopes that people will think we're on break, say something, you know, ridiculously embarrassing.
Well, that's the other thing. Well, I will tell you, since this comes up every so often on the show, I actually have... several recording files opened in pre-save for just in case, so I can break it off and not accidentally lose an entire segment, which has happened a couple of times.
I'm seeing behind the curtain now. It's wonderful. Yeah.
And the thing was, I used to
How
be...
How is that, James?
Yeah.
It's a pretty thin curtain.
We used to actually have a little bit of a break, and then some awesome, funny stuff would be mentioned, and it's like, I wasn't recording that! That was awesome! It's like, crap. So I try to do the switch as fast as possible.
You know, he says awesome stuff. Mostly what he means are people making masturbation jokes and, you know, talking about how they hope their mother doesn't hear this, and then he's like, you know.
Well, that's just you, though.
I thought that was just supposed to be part of the regular show.
Well, it is now.
That's because, why I'm here.
And and so we're back. And and that's all in. And I'm going to screw up the name again, but we also we're going to talk with Chris Miskiewicz.
Yes.
Of Everywhere. So tell us about Everywhere.
Hold on a sec. I'm swallowing my egg sandwich.
Hey, while he's doing that, I'm gonna sharpen here real quick. So his name is Miskiewicz, and the way I figured out how to say it, it rhymes with Bill Sienkiewicz from Comic Con. So it's like Sienkiewicz with an M.
You know, I actually learned how to spell it by singing the Mickey Mouse theme song.
Yeah, do it.
Miskiewicz.
I'm not gonna sing it, but it's the same beats, the M-I-S, you know, K-I-E-W-I-C as the Mickey. And that's how smart I was.
Nice. No, I like that.
Anyway, so that's it. That's what Everywhere is about. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Come again.
Try again.
All right. Do this over.
Follow the sandwich. Let's go. No.
I write Everywhere. It's an anthology comic on Activate. I have 18 episodes that we're going to do. The first year is... pretty much underway, and it's you know, it's all short content, 10 to 16 pages at the most. Every episode's being done by a different artist, or well, Seth is doing one as well, which is a photo comic next month, so I can't say artist, sorry Seth.
Thanks.
Many or, I mean, photo artists. We, you know, we gotta come up with a cool, I don't know,
what
Fumetti
about photographer
artist.
Isn't that already there?
Seth Kushner, the Fumetti artist, yes. I'm good with that.
There you go.
All right. So it's a bit of a – it's a horror parody. It's very tongue-in-cheek. There's no – again, the fact that there's almost no oversight as far as editorial over any of us as far as what we're putting up on this is great. I get to write a lot of weird, crooked, screwed-up stories for this that are kind of fun. I don't know. I've got a good group of people who are drawing on it. It's a cool project right now to do, and I'm really kind of thankful that the original Brain Trust at Activase said yes and put it up, and it's just been getting a good response. I even was complimented by Simon Fraser.
Really?
And then there was silence.
Simon.
See how everyone in the internet is shocked by that, and we'll just
he's a tough critic.
We'll leave that alone for the myth to grow.
Sorry, I was just reading the last parts of Everywhere where there's bunnies everywhere.
Bunnies. Bobby Timoney did that. Bobby is awesome. He's known for being the artist on Night Owls, which was on Zuda, and I think now you can get it, well, in Chops, and it's on Comixology as well. Yeah, I'm not wrong.
DC Digital, I think, right?
Yeah. Say again?
DC Digital, right?
I guess that's what that is. I'm not on there. This has just been a really cool project. I mean, later episodes are going to – Dennis Calero's doing one. I just got Nick Abadzi to do one. And it's Maurice Fontenu, who does Ghost Bimp right now over – was on Activate. It's now on MTV Geek, is doing – another episode. It's just really kind of a cool the whole concept, I guess I should have done this first, is that you wake up and for no reason there's a plague of one species of animals everywhere. Yes, like the birds, not like snakes on a plane. There's no reoccurring characters. It's just a really weird Twilight Zone episode done by different artists and with different animals. That sounds terrible.
Hmm.
Well, that doesn't sound terrible.
No, it does. It does. I sound like I'm a little addled in the mind. It's a nice thing with animals and different people. That's what you said, basically. Minus
okay,
the
now part. That sounded terrible.
Now, if you'd have pitched it like that in the beginning, I might actually be reading it.
Right, of course. Yeah. You gotta look at this. One episode's got a fish, and the other one doesn't. It's got a different for donkeys. You know, that would have got me somewhere else. And silence fills the internet.
No, I'm still obsessing on donkeys. That was just funny. Okay.
I don't have donkeys everywhere. I'm sorry.
No donkeys everywhere?
Yeah. James?
Is that open as a possibility?
Is that for part two?
James, what do you say? Want to do donkeys falling from the sky?
Why do you name me when you're talking about jackasses?
There we go. Asses everywhere. There we go.
Hey, I got a question about the Bunnies Everywhere comic. Since, now I just saw a zombie thing in bed. All right, now I'm going to get away from that one.
What?
Zombies in bed? What?
I clicked previous on the last chapter. I went to the end of chapter 3, I think. Yep, there's a zombie thing in the bed.
No, chapter 2, Worms Everywhere. That was done by Rick Parker. You guys, you know who Rick Parker is? He's awesome. Rick's been doing comics for 703 years. He's like this beatnik comic book guy. He used to do Beavis and Butthead comics forever.
Oh, nice, yeah.
He's that guy. He is so cool.
I really like him.
Pardon?
You have to be. You have to be cool to be in comics that long. Otherwise, you go insane and fall off to the wayside.
Oh,
he's totally like I don't know, like an 80s Nick Cave kind of wears all black with shades uncle. I like him a lot.
Nice. Nick See, Cave Anthony uncle. Bourdain of comics.
What you said, yes.
Alrighty. So let's move on down the list. We have Seth Kushner.
Kushner,
yeah.
Can I tell you how I learned Seth Kushner's last name?
Rhymes with what?
It's like the Mickey Mouse song, right?
No, I just kind of said it once or twice.
Okay. That's all it takes, yeah.
So,
I like that method.
So of the comic called Culture Pop.
Right.
Which is, or is it Seth Kushner's Culture Pop? I'm not sure. Which is
either one is fine.
All right, and this is a photo comic. So tell us a bit about Culture Pop.
Well, I should say I'm not really from comics. I'm a photographer, and I kind of came to Activate almost through the side door in that I was working at a book. I'm working at a book called Leaping Tall Buildings: History of American Comics, and I've been profiling comic creators for the past 3 or so years, and kind of just became friends with people. And you know, and the Activators all knew I had story ideas and wanted to create things, and was kind of just encouraged to figure out what I'd want to do, what my voice in comics could be, but using my photography. And so this thing was born. Actually, Dean, again, was a big help in just birthing this project and this idea. Basically, it's photo comics, profiles of real-life characters, as we're calling it. So pick a subject who I think is someone fascinating, and I sit down with them. I do an interview. It's recorded. Match it up with a bunch of photo shoots. The interview quotes are then dropped in. That's the text in the piece. So all the words are first-person narrative from the subject. And it's basically it's photography, but you know, and stories told in a comics-like format.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the very long explanation of what it is. I've done 24 different ones over the past year. I just finished what's being known as season 2. Why is Chris Miscavige laughing?
I didn't laugh at all, man.
I think there was
my
a
little
cough.
Yellow bar is moving up and down.
Oh, I coughed. Sorry. Okay.
Wow.
Seth and I talk a lot. We're like old girlfriends at this point.
All the emotional controversy is coming out now. You never loved me, Chris. You never loved me.
Anywho, that's the basic story. You know, I've seen comics, you know, done with photos for years, and I've never found them to be effective. And so I sort of challenged myself to say, all right, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it good. So hopefully I have. I don't know.
I think
Chris, Seth, I mean, I've actually got a question about the way you write.
Sure.
Like, how do you choose which quotes you're going to put in the comic?
You know what? The long interviews, and I just edit them like any other Word document. I just try to find what the narrative is based on what was said and what I want to see it, you know, become at the end. So it's not really written by me exactly, but it's shaped by me, I guess is probably more accurate.
Do you start your interviews with an idea of where you want to go?
In most cases, yeah. Mostly it starts with a conversation between the subject and myself. And, you know, sometimes, a few of the times, there's been, you know, no concept at all, and it sort of just happens while we're talking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like that concept, mm-hmm. I think. But, yeah, it's very organic. Like, it's not a process that's like anything else I've ever done in any kind of work I've handled in the past. It's a really kind of unique way of working that it's kind of see your pants, and I really like that because mm-hmm. it's a new challenge each time.
This most recent chapter 24, starts off with a lot of like models and miniatures, yeah, and things like that. Now I'm not sure about all the other chapters, since I think chapter one was what I first saw, and it's, you know, very the person photography, you know, normal scale. As far as like when it comes to the smaller scale, and you obviously have to take your pictures differently. Did you have to learn a little bit more about photography or how to adjust your style for the miniatures or for the small things, or did it come natural for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a photographer so long. I've you know, done a little bit of everything. Well, I gravitate towards portrait type work and people. You know, I've done smaller objects, and I've really done everything in my career over the past 15 years, whatever. So, I mean, I sort of knew what I wanted to look like. And obviously, you know, you have to use different kinds of lenses, and you want to kind of flatten out the planes of perspective. There's a whole bunch of interesting challenge with it. But that one was very different. We're all a little different from each other. Each one has its own thing going on. But that was different because it was a really strong collaboration with the subject, the artist Cynthia von Bueller, who, you know, I didn't have a concept. I knew she was interesting. I talked to her, and she just came at me with this crazy idea that she wants to tell the story of her family through generations. And then, you know, wouldn't it be cool if she built, you know, dollhouse sets and small figurines, and I photographed those, and that told the story of you know, the 1920s era of her family and Prohibition. And, it, you know, I didn't know what she was going to do. Like, she kind of went away, and 2 months later she called me and said, come to my studio. It's ready. And I went up there in Connecticut, and she had this entire room filled with these miniature sets. It was unbelievable. Like, she's just she's a brilliant artist, and it's really it's great to work with someone like that because it makes me up my game a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a really nice experience, and I think her and I are talking about expanding that into a full on book. So we'll see how that goes.
That's cool. Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Huh.
I just got to a part where a baby doll's giving birth to a baby doll. Okay. So anyways, so that's Culture Pop.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas for, I mean, because with your current model, do you have any ideas in the future that might be a little bit more you specifically, your own very specific stories, or do you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, actually Chris Miscavige and I have been, and Dean Haspiel have been writing something together for, I don't know, a year or so now.
I think it's a year.
It's a story concept by me, script by Miscavige, edits by Dean Haspiel. And it's going to be a full-on dramatized photo comic. We're hiring casting actors, finding locations. It'll be shot like a movie, but it'll be stills.
Cool.
And we're still figuring out the format, where it'll be and all that. But we have, I think, a really strong, unique script that we have sort of molded over the last year or so. So
I think we're on like the 10th draft of it right now, which is kind of crazy. And Seth, around the time Seth and I met, he approached me about this, and you know, I had not really written something with anyone before, so I took it as a bit of an experiment to see if I could do that, and I wasn't a total douche. I wasn't a douche. Was I a douche?
Not totally, at least.
I'm a little bit of that. All right. Anyway, but it's
you're
it's,
a writer. We're all a little bit of a douche.
Right on. it's been a really cool experiment. Dean came in, and that was nice. And then there was a complete, you know, a different voice over the whole thing as well. I think the three of us have had an okay run at it. It seems daunting because, in a sense, I do acting work as well, and I've been kind of combing through my lists of friends and people I like to cast in this, and I don't know. It's ambitious. I mean, we're thinking of like what it was like 160 or so page count on this or something.
Yeah,
it's a big.
It's grown.
It's big. It's a big thing. God help us.
It's also it's a big thing, but it's also like a personal story, but an ambitious story. So there's a real fine line, you know, in how this can work properly. You don't want to just be someone who casts their friends and everyone's staring at the camera looking goofy. It's got to really look like film stills. You know, it's got to be like moments from a film, and it's got to be real. So that's the challenge in it.
Right.
The actors I've asked on it they all give me the same look when I kind of approach them. They think I'm talking about a short film. They think I'm talking about motion. I'm like, no. And I forward Seth's work to them and whatnot to see kind of what we mean. It's been interesting, and most people kind of go like, that's an interesting idea. All right, I'm in. Being it's a weird.
It's like the opposite of voice acting.
You're
creating the pictures, just the pictures.
It's in a sense it's modeling, but
right. In a sense. I mean,
very emotive modeling would be nice.
Well, that's why we think it's important to cast actors, not just people who look good, because they should be able to emote realistically. I think that's the key, and that's maybe why it hasn't worked in the past when others have done things like that, because it always looked very posy, you know?
It does tend to be stiff if you don't do it correctly. So.
We've had a couple of photo comics on in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the zombie one I keep forgetting about. Night Zero. Essentially, you know, that's what they do. They get performers or actors. They rent out locations, and there's makeup and everything, and it's just it's a production in and of itself, and it sounds like an absolute ball. But it's certainly endeavorous, and the best of luck with that project, of course.
Yeah, we're the location part. That's a fun document in my computer right now. we're calling this this thing. I mean, we're hoping it'll be finished by the end of this year or the end of this. We're done shooting by the end of summer, and then that's a whole other conversation for us on how and what we're going to do with it. It's called Complex, and we will tell you nothing else.
The location list sounds like a great thing for a members only kind of, you know, giveaway, where it's just like, these cryptic locations and no clue as to what's going on in the story. That would be brilliant.
You know, that's not what we're doing, but
sure.
Well, alrighty, I think we have, how many people do we have left? We have two more people left, and I am going to take one last break.
Good. I'm
and when we come back, we will wrap this up, and we'll s- actually I have nothing. We'll be right back.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now, back to our show.
Shouldn't there be some kind of music?
I had the music in post.
Right.
He puts all that in later.
Yep.
Oh, all right.
And Tanya doesn't listen to it.
I don't.
All my hard work.
I heard it the first time. I'm here.
Tanya, where are you located?
I am in Frederick, Colorado.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well,
I got a wow for Frederick, Colorado.
That's amazing.
From Longmont.
Oh, it's like 20
miles. Is that anywhere
near
Longmont?
Yeah, yeah. It's like 20 miles, a little bit southeast.
Well,
I asked because I was just out there. So.
Oh, where are you?
Yeah, it's a lovely part of the country, actually.
What the heck were you in Longmont for? I grew up in Longmont.
You know, you got to get out of New York sometime, right?
Well, okay. I've never thought of people leaving a major city complex and thinking Longmont, Colorado sounds like a great place.
Well, I know people out there.
So. Okay, that makes sense. Visiting.
The truth comes out.
As Mr. Smith's
I needed some medical weed.
As Mr. Yeah. Smith's attorney, I'd like to advise him not to divulge the reason why he was out there. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds like Longmont, Colorado. No, yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's just the other side of the highway.
Yep. Full of witness protection colonies. Anyway, we also... Next up on the Activate lineup, we have Dov Torben, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yep, Dov Torben.
Dov Torben of The Revolution Will Be Televised, and one of the more recent additions to Activate. Mm-hmm. And tell us about how The Revolution Will Be Televised.
Well, I launched this book about 3 weeks ago, right before Mocha, and it's a true story about me being in Egypt. I got there 2 days before the revolution broke out.
Oh, wow.
And I ended up being there, stuck there for like a week, and then eventually I was evacuated out of the country. And I was there, at the time I was traveling around the world for like 6 months, a little more, and I was in Israel, and my best friend had just moved to Cairo to study Arabic there.
Okay.
And I was in Israel for a wedding, and I was like, well, I'm already in Israel. I might as well just go to Egypt, since I'm already not too far away.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right before I was supposed to go, there was a revolution in Tunisia. And my whole family was, like, freaking out and telling me not to go and, like, saying that, you know, revolution spread. And... But I decided to go anyways, and about 2 days later, revolt started to break out in Cairo, and I got back home, got back to the States mid-February, and as soon as I got home, I started working on this book.
That's awesome.
Yep, so I'm trying to do it every week. I don't know how long I'm going to keep that up, but right now I'm doing like 2 pages a week every Thursday, and... Online, I got like 10 pages up right now. So I'm not sure how long it's going to be. Thinking like 60, 70, around there.
Which character are you in the comic? The one with or without 5 o'clock shadow?
I'm with the 5 o'clock shadow. Okay. It's actually a beard right now in real life.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll come later.
That's like kind of 30. Do you listen to NPR? NPR? Yeah, public radio.
A little bit.
Right now it's kind of sounding like something I might end up hearing like on The Story or something like that, some cool interesting thing, but a comic account of it is a really cool idea. Actually, it'd be cool to find more more comics in general, more webcomics, where they have they're made from an actual event of, you know, not necessarily journal comic, but journal comic was something very interesting that happened. not to be mean.
Not to be mean about journal comics, but you know.
Something of historic significance rather than personal significance.
Right. Yeah, I'm not belittling people's personal significances.
That would be a non-insulting way.
Yeah. By the way, I am looking to do a journal comic episode of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm not kidding. I really am.
Good fucking luck with that right now. Really? This is when you decide to plug. Hey, everybody. If you'd like to come on and be told by Fess that you're boring, give us a call.
No. If you'd like to come on and prove me wrong.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You know what? No journal comic is like that confrontational.
No, I actually read a couple of journal comics which are they're nice to follow. They're nice little chunks of people's lives which they've
patronizing. No, I'm not.
There's one particular girl I'm going to ask but I got to find more basically. Anyway, so we have the revolution will be televised. Do you know about how long this comic will end up being, since obviously it's already happened? And
yeah, it's
tough
for me to gauge. I think it's going to be like 60 or 70 pages.
Okay. Have you done other comic work that you want to plug or something that you're planning on doing after this?
Sure. No, I've been doing comics for basically ever since I left college. I've been doing comics for like 4 years, just doing my own stuff, small magazine stuff. I have a site called Ben vs. Dove, which I share with my friend Ben Granoff, who's also a cartoonist. We grew up together.
Okay.
And sometimes we collaborate. And I don't know, it was mostly stuff I did when I was younger, and it's a lot of, like, teen angst. Like, I don't know, there's, like, a comic about drugs and, you know, a comic about sex. And, you know, I was just, like, getting it out of my system, I think. And so I could, like, calm down and draw, you know, more regular comics. But,
Great, I'm still doing comics about drugs and sex. What does that say about my maturity level?
just add a little bit of rock and roll.
There's no rock and roll.
Oh, well, sorry. You're doing it wrong.
I'll have to add some. Get out more.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure, yeah, the Frederick, Colorado is surely a rockin' place.
Yeah. Something like that.
Well, it has.
You know, I was recently reading a journal comic about how rocking a place Frederick, Colorado is.
Were you? That's astonishing.
Yeah.
Kind of rocking back and forth.
There's a lot of rocking.
Yeah, in chairs. Or
kiss. It's just gonna go there, but okay. So, as far as plans after this comic, do you have plans for after this?
No, I have no idea.
Nothing.
Kind of living day by day. Yeah.
All right, day by day. All right.
Trying to hopefully maybe find a publisher when this is done, but I have no idea. But I don't think I'm going to stop doing comics anytime soon.
Well, I wouldn't encourage that. So I would not. I would encourage you to keep on doing comics. There we go. The words fail me, but good luck with that, of course.
Thanks.
And I think our last guest, James Smith, which is not a fake name. It does Gang of Fools. So.
Yeah. Wait, are you calling me a fool? Wait, I don't understand what's going on here.
Well, I think the proof of the pudding is in the eating, but we have Gang of Fools by James Smith. So tell us about your comic.
About my comic. Wait, what's my comic? Oh, Gang of Fools. Gang of Fools is it's an absurdist sci-fi action comedy about hipsters trying to make a living in the city. It was actually running on its own website a few years ago, or about a year and a half ago, and not too long after I started it, I met Dean, and he suggested I put it on Activate. So that's where it's been since the fall, I think. I think it's been running since the fall, and I am perpetually 20 pages away from the end.
Wow.
I love comics like that. I'll be done in 20 pages. Yes. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. I should put this in. 20 more pages.
Yeah,
oh, wait.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're stuck with graphic novel size because you can't do a 32-page comic mm-hmm. anymore. And yeah. Sorry. What?
Well, what's so nice about it is I actually started it not really knowing what it was about. It was I'm one of those people that I take a while to do a page, and and in the middle of it, I get either bored or my art changes because I have a short attention span, and then I'll stop because I wanted it to be perfect. And so with this book, I sort of gave myself permission that whatever style I felt like drawing in that day, or whatever had pissed me off that week, that's what was going to be in it. And so it's kind of grown organically, you know. And it's only now, it's only like a year or two after I started it that I actually know like what the end of the book is.
I love this because we have the exact same problem. It takes me.
Well, I don't consider it a problem. I think it's fun.
Okay. Well, okay. It's a problem to traditional kind of, you know, structure of the way people do comics. It takes me about 13 hours to do a page. There's no freaking way I'm not going to be bored or lost or confused in 13 hours. There's something shiny just around the corner. I guarantee it. So, and, you know, and then it might be another week before I can sit down and draw again. And so this time, now it looks entirely different because I haven't had time to draw in between. And everything's crappy. And I decided to just do random comics and have no storyline at all, which is just a different solution to the same issue. But I completely understand. Sure. Shiny. Yeah. And then you're off.
Well, you know, it's also that I listen to music as I'm drawing, and so in the middle of a page, I'll change the dialogue, and a lot of the dialogue sounds kind of weird because it's lyrics from whatever song was on the radio at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah,
I can't
just kind of that. Just let whatever happens happen, you know?
Yeah. That's good. I like that. I am incapable. listening to music, it changes the tone of the comic as I'm writing it and makes it mm-hmm. very confusing, unfortunately. I haven't quite mastered how to make it just look eclectic. It just looks crazy instead, so. Sorry.
Well, I don't know if I've mastered it. I just don't question whether or not I got it right.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's my problem. I should just stop wondering if I'm doing it right and just do it. Whatever. See what bounces. Sorry. The Adderall is strong, but it's not strong enough today. I'm really trying.
Right.
They make a shampoo now.
I hope so. I keep waiting. There needs to be a tropical
Adderall shampoo. Yeah,
that would
nice.
Be great. I could get some sort of, I don't know, lotion. That'd be good.
Just the shampoo.
Topical.
Okay.
So, with that.
mm-hmm.
Are there, since we only have a mere fraction of the creators from the Activate lineup, I want to ask if there's any other Activate projects or creators that any of you would like to specifically plug?
Well, I really dig Cannon Wheeler all the time.
Everyone talk at once, sorry.
Everyone go. Yeah.
Or no.
Well, I really like Simon's Lily McKenzie comic is a great little sci-fi piece. Yeah, you should check that out. And if you love really good inking, Tim Hamilton is kind of a genius with a brush.
I really like Roger Langridge. He's I think he's one of the best cartoonists around right now, and does that book Mugwump, and it's pretty funny every time he posts it. That'd be my choice.
Alrighty.
I'd kind of push Simon as well. I actually, before I started self-promoting myself, used to send Simon's link out to people to go check out the site. It was one of the first things that when I found it, I kept reading. I'm also a sci-fi geek. Tim Hamilton's kind of rocks. Mike Cavallaro has Leviathan up there, and I think the he did one in black and white and like another chapter in color. The second half's in color. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Yep, that's correct.
Like, yep. The color, yeah, I mean, right. The black and white one's great. It was the first stuff he put up. The colored one is just awesome, man. He is such a good colorist. Like, it, I don't know. I like that piece a lot, actually. And then there's, you know, everybody knows Haspiel. He's got like 15 things up there with Billy Dogma and whatnot that are all just great reads.
Fishtown. Different. I also really like. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just kind of rambling off what I've wasted time on. I keep saying that wasted time on the site.
Who does the something silly? I can't remember the name.
I was about to mention
that's
him.
That's Nathan Schreiber. He's
I love that.
Best known for Power Out. Do you know that book?
Mm-hmm. Power Out's awesome.
Still yeah, running. Something silly is exactly what it is. He's just putting out little shorts that are, you know, silly and something. How was that? That was good, right? I was like a Jewish comedian in the 50s.
Absolutely.
Hey, get the lox. Look at the fish.
I got it. I thought it was hilarious. Okay, what?
Sorry, I'm just reading comics now on Activate.
What are you doing?
I'm reading comics on Activate
you're
now.
You're reading the comics now?
Yeah, so, well, I'm clicking around and
speaking of ADD.
Yeah, I do.
Just a couple of things that we didn't mention. Again, because not everything is current, but it's new if you've never been there before.
Oh, right.
Thomas Bayer's The End is Near. It's a Penguin story. That's great. Heartbreaking. Beautiful.
Mm.
Oh, and that's such a good story, man. He should still animate that thing. It is such a good tale. Thomas is doing one of the Everywheres as well with Penguins.
Yep, and also I really enjoy Joan Frenari's Ultra Lad. Is kind of a tremendous, you know, beautifully drawn piece on Activate as well.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Goleman has Red Light Properties up right now on the site, which is a really – he's got it on his site as well. It's a cool comic. You got to click on that. We have to rip him off. He's doing really cool things with web comics. You have to rip off Dan Goleman somehow. I mean that in a good way, I think.
Yeah.
There's also a thing, I mean, what's neat about Activate, I guess you could use TV lingo and say seasons to some degree, although anyone who has posted can continue to. There's a good amount on the comics page that are just archived or not currently being updated or finished even. And it's nice kind of to get into this. Looking at this as seasons, I guess we're the current season if it were a TV situation right now. But there's so much stuff to look at on this thing.
Huh. Yeah, I was reading the Red Light Properties as quite interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool. It's just cool.
I mean, I don't normally get this distracted, but you know, there's a buffet of comics at Activate, so basically. So this has been episode 183 where we've talked about a community showcase of Activate. I'll try to gather all the various links that we've mentioned on the show and put them in the show notes. Otherwise, you can go to activatecomics.com or act-i-vate.com for the homepage, and you can check out all the creators and comics that are there. I do want to thank all of you for coming on the show, of course. Is there anything else that people want to mention before we get going, before we close this up?
No, well, thanks for having
us. Actually, one thing I'll mention. Given that the Panels for Primates is closing out itself on June 1st, I just want to mention that, honestly, going out with a bang, there are two giants collaborating for the first time, and one of these guys, you could pick people off the street and go, "Have you heard of this guy?" And 9 out of 10 people would say yes. So I mean, it's big, and I'm really really happy that that's the way we're going out. So
cool.
Is it Mobius?
I cannot say.
I know who you're talking about. It's pretty good.
I know as well. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is indeed.
Yeah. It's a. And congrats on getting that to happen, dude.
Thank you.
It's ridiculous.
Wow.
How's that for bait, people who listen
that
to this?
That was
thing?
A crazy teaser.
Don't you want to see what
totally
we're
totally excited,
doing?
Man.
Yeah.
Brooklyn? Ooh.
Can you reveal his name on the break?
No, because we don't, he lies.
Yeah, you lie about your breaks, man. We know.
And plus, we're also live, so anyone listening in the live chat would hear it too. So.
Yeah. Oh.
So yeah, so that was so I do once again thank you all for coming on the show. We've had Troy Wilson from Panels for Primates.
Hang on.
I wrote it down verbatim. We also had Chris Miskovich.
Think of Bill Sienkiewicz.
Miskovich.
You can't say that either though.
Of everywhere. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Seth Kushner of Culture Pop.
Thanks for having us.
Dov Torben of The Revolution Will Be Televised.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
And James Smith of Gang of Fools.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Once again, thank you all of you for coming here. Thanks for being on the Webcomic Beacon. And we'll get all those links in the show notes. I've been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of Don't Bother.
See you guys next week at PenguinCon, Troy, Michigan. We'll be having a show on Saturday, so look for us in the PenguinCon show guide. We'll see you next
time.
Come
ask us questions. I can't speak for the other two neurotics, but I love bizarre questions.
Absolutely. All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
See you later. Peace.
All right. Hey. Thanks a lot, man.
No problem. Thank you. Oh, hey, one last thing to do. We are getting low on Becky art for the Webcomic Beacon. For those who are interested, you can go to webcomicbeacon.com/art and find out some more information about drawing our beloved cover girl. As we've done for in the past several years of people that have submitted Becky Beacon in various circumstances, poses. And we use those for the Webcomic Beacon show covers, so we'll be looking, we'll be asking for more people to submit their own art. If you submitted before, feel free to submit again. We are down, I think we got one left in the arc of the archive in the list of people to use yet. And so you can also email those at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And, all right, well, once again, PenguinCon, Troy, Michigan. We're going to be there on April 30th. I believe the show is going to be at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But check the PenguinCon programming at penguincon.net. And we'll see you there.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.